You know, you're funny.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
You know, I just want to say a few things here.
Learn to live alongside cringe.
Put simply,
just limit it to what we have seen.
What are you?
This is the Brian Suits Show.
It's Black Rod. Open the door.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Black Rod. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and it is your Friday. The 27th of May, 2022. Look at that. And it's a very actual Friday. I think we had a pretty good practice yesterday. And this one amazing secret may help you. We'll get to that in a whole bunch of stuff. Let's see. I have to play this because I had it queued up. Oh, no, I had that. Oh, here we go.
They're a bunch of jackasses, but they are tremendous.
Oh, there you go. Leave Fiji alone, you terrorists.
Leave Fiji alone, terrorists.
And we'll be back right after this. It's AM 770-KTTH. Brian Suits here with the producer, Greg. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic.
For Secretary of Health and Education Service, I nominate Javier Baccaria.
There we go. Thank you. You must be very proud. AM 770-KTTH, Brian Suits here, and I'm cleaning out the drop closet, everybody, and producer Greg in there. Reading an email, Greg. This is news to me.
Oh, wow.
From JW to Brian Suits. I just left a few clothing items on what I'm told is your desk. Well, that's news to me. I have a desk.
You do?
I guess.
You're moving up in the world.
I guess I have to look around the Cairo newsroom for the desk with a bunch of KTTH stuff on it.
Did you get a windbreaker or a nice little sweater or something?
I don't know. Can you talk? I'll go outside and look.
They said, hey, we got a bunch of new KTTH swag to give our employees. And I said, got any triple XL? And they said, we'll get back to you.
What color is it? What's our colors?
I hope they're dark colors because it hides some of my flap.
Well, I'll go check them out. We'll see. Welcome everybody to the last Friday of May, but we still have some May left next week. And do your kids have today off? 4-day weekend?
They do have today off.
What is the deal? Same with mine.
I feel like more days off than ever before.
And we haven't even gotten into the snow days. Yeah, the snow day makeup. By the way, Blaine, today off too. Well, but I don't know if that was planned or not. But anyway, for a second day in a row, Blaine School District cancels classes Friday after threat. As I look around the South Sound and the Mid Sound and the North Sound, this seems to be the norm. Is that the Friday before Memorial Day is now a day off too, which is crap. I say, well, this morning I woke up, and my one super secret that may amaze you, is that I moved my alarm 30 minutes to the left. So now I get up at 2:20 AM and man, I got to tell you, knowing that, you know, daughter has a day off, you know, and the whole thing, there were COVIDs all over the room. When I turned the light on and I surprised them, they were all over. And I said, get out, you COVIDs. And one of them went right up my nose. Now I've got a runny nose.
Were you able to verify that there were COVIDs over the room?
Yeah. Well, there was a king. It was a giant buck. It was like an 8-point buck COVID.
You don't want to mess with the queen COVID.
No. And they were protecting her. I could see that. And I didn't make a move. No sudden moves, but I did scare most of them out. But one of them went up my nose. Now I have a slightly runny nose, though it's gone away. But regardless, I came in. I'm here.
Courageous.
And who's in for Dan Bongino today?
Mr. Jason Rance.
You're Jason Rance for KTTH because Bongino has a day off. Apparently, the COVID's hit him. They didn't hit me. I dodged them. For the one that went up my nose. So anyway, Jason Rance is at 9 and I'll be sure to sanitize my workstation. Cause normally there's a 6-hour gap between when I leave and when he's on. And I have to think that it sanitizes itself. But, anyway, I'm glad I've been you know, getting those things the heck out of, just get out of here, you COVIDs.
Okay, that's your Friday feel good folksy anecdote.
By the way, but anyone who can identify this,
leave Fiji alone, terrorists.
800-465-8770.
Do I have time for a folksy anecdote as we start the show, or do you want to get into news?
You want to take a guess at what this movie or what this drop is from?
Leave Fiji alone, terrorists.
Fiji alone, terrorists.
No, I don't know that one.
Okay. It's a movie I've told you to see. It's a great movie.
Okay.
ask me about Top Gun Maverick.
Did you see it?
No. Bought the ticket.
You're 0 for 2 now.
Had a great seat at the IMAX. And I'm driving there. It's at 3:20.
It's a good time.
Daytime. I hate nighttime movies because amateurs go. And I'm on my way there, and I'm getting tired. I mean, my eyelids are just, they weigh a ton. And I'm looking at this going, this is not a movie that I want to sleep through. And so I... with one hand, I'm driving because I do not pull over when I text. Really. And I canceled. And I made it a Fandango credit because if you refund your credit card, they keep the, quote, convenience fee.
So but, you're 2 for 2 on refunds and 0 for 2 on seeing
the
movie.
I need a breather. And because yesterday I did stuff when I got home. You know, ordered the stand-up freezer. It's going to be a 7 cubic footer, which is not real big, but it's only $199. Because I'm not paying the Inslee price hike, which some call sales tax, but I call it the Inslee price hike. All right. Now, so one more time.
Leave Fiji alone, terrorists.
It's your folks, Ian. I'm still allowed wild conjecture. I don't know anything about the movie. Haven't been on IMDb, Wikipedia. How can you not have Maverick have a son? Of course,
you're already criticizing something you haven't seen.
I don't know. Have no basis. I'm just conjecturing. But what's your folksy anecdote?
My folksy anecdote. Okay, so I did something.
So Goose's son is in this movie. I mean, this is known, right? And he's like in by timeline. He's like 36. He's like a lieutenant commander. I mean, this is not the same as Top Gun. You're not in the school or whatever. But anyway, I'm just wondering.
Here's what I did yesterday.
Leave Fiji alone, terror.
I committed an act that was illegal in most states up until about 1969. And that was...
open a checkbook for a woman.
No. I ate Taco Bell and Taco Time in the same day. Was that advised?
Is Taco Del Mar up here?
Taco Del Mar is up here.
Oh, okay.
And I've often told my wife I could eat Mexican food at every meal, every day. But yesterday I finally did 2 out of 3, and it's not serving me well this morning.
No,
it was not advised.
I'm not, you know, no dig on those two nationwide chains, but
well, Taco Time Northwest is mainly up here in the Pacific.
Yeah, Northwest. I can't. But I endorse. Is El Pollo Loco anywhere around here?
No, that's strictly California,
oh,
I think.
Okay.
But here's the deal with Taco Bell: their Mexican pizza is back.
I know, that's her thing, and apparently that's really good. It's a made-up thing.
I'm at worship practice last night with the band, and I get this text from my wife, and she's like, can you be my Uber Eats and pick me up one of these Mexican pizzas on your way home? It's going to be about 8 p.m., and I think, yeah, I'll do my wife a solid, and I'll go to the fast food joint there. But I had already had Taco Time for lunch. I had missed dinner, so I thought, well, I'll get 3 more hard tacos. And Taco Bell was sold out of the Mexican pizzas. I didn't even know this could happen.
It's huge.
It's massive.
And they intentionally take things off the menu so that they can reintroduce them, which is brilliant.
Is that the trick?
That's the trick. And apparently this Mexican pizza was really good.
Well, it's working.
Well, I mean, it's demanded. It's in high demand. I don't know that I would.
The only thing is, in high school, I used to be able to get like 9 tacos at Taco Bell for like $3.
Yeah.
And now they're like almost $2.50 a piece.
And you're talking about the hard corn tortillas?
They're bad, but
they're horrible.
They're bad and good.
No, after I got exposed to street tacos, now that's all I can do is go to a Roach Coach and
so
get a street
good
taco. Yeah, if they're and it's really hard to find up here. I can endorse. There's a great in Tenino, out of all places. There's a place called Don Juan's And it's family. It has to be number one. Has to be family owned. It's family owned. Only family works there. The whole thing.
Yes, family owned. The
and
best.
They're Mexicans, not Mexicans. They know what they're doing. They know what the heck they're doing.
There's
and
a
the
place.
Familia. Yeah. And everything. It's terrific.
I mean, my favorite secret place, which is kind of a hole in the wall, is called Plaza Garcia in Kirkland, and they have the greatest street tacos. You can order 20 of them,
yeah.
And then they give them with a side of rice and beans and chips. Blow your mind. Gotta try it.
And it's got to have the cotija cheese. It's got to have the cilantro. And oh, it's so good. If you do it right. There used to be, back in pre-gentrification South Lake Union, there was a great place right across the street, very originally named Azteca. And
really?
It was really good. It was family owned and the whole thing. And we used to, you know, have lunch over there, pre-show meetings and the whole thing. And
I mean, they're a bunch of jackasses, but they are tremendous.
Tremendous. And so anyway, well, this little slice of life on Mail It In Friday, the 27th of May.
Here we are.
We'll be back for more Mail It In Friday. By the way, see, New York Times. Documents shed light on secret U.S. plans for apocalyptic scenarios. That's clickbait for me. I love that stuff. And the article delivers mainly. We'll be back right after this. In Olympia, trying a brave new experiment. No laws. We'll be back right after this. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic. Brian Suits here, and it is Memorial Day Eve, and I have to find the headline, because I have to work this through. The first transsexual Barbie. Mattel designs first transgender Barbie after Laverne Cox. I'm supposed to know who Laverne Cox is. LGBTQ rights activist Laverne Cox. And so now there's a Barbie, which, by the way, Barbie and Ken have no genitals. There's no genitalia whatsoever. Full
so
on.
So thinks you.
Well, so obviously what the point is, how would you know? But Emmy winner, actress, and LGBTQ rights activist Laverne Cox has become the first. And by the way, go ahead and you can hit your irony alarm for her being named Laverne Cox. Has become the first transgender person to have a Barbie doll designed after her at a time when advocates warn that transgender rights are coming under legislative attack in the U.S. and I mean, isn't it just a doll then? Isn't it just a doll dressed as a woman?
Technically.
I mean, but anyway, hey, Mattel, we read your name on the air, so you got your wish. Well, that's pretty darn sexist or ignorant about a toy company. But now here's flat out sexism. Are you ready for this?
Sexism incoming.
Menstrual leave.
Wait, what?
Menstrual leave. Not. By the way, not womanstrual leave. Why don't they rename it the womanstrual cycle? Why is it menstrual cycle? But anyway, a queer feminist-led company, Chani, Chani, that makes a popular astrology app. So there you go.
Of course.
Lists a variety of perks to entice potential employees, salary starting at $80,000 a year, an annual tech stipend, a nice 401k match, and 4 months of paid parental leave. The LA-based company also offers a more unusual benefit. Quote, unlimited menstrual leave for people with uteruses, close quote.
It really says people with uteruses?
People with uteruses.
No, it doesn't.
PWUs. People with uteruses. By the way, doesn't that imply that one person can have several? Like, you're not a dog. Humans have one. People with uteri? Shouldn't it be persons with uterus?
That makes more sense.
I got to say, if you have uteruses, you're having a bad month. That is a very, very harsh tone.
Text us with your ideas of what the plural of uterus is.
It should be persons with a uterus, but people with uteruses. How are they going to prove it? But anyway, they're menstrual leave, which is literally the definition of sexism. We'll expand on that a little later on.
Whoa,
man.
Whoa, man.
Funniest damn
So good.
Opening of a movie.
Well, and while I do a movie drop there, we got to talk about Ray Liotta passing away at the age of 67 yesterday while in his sleep in the Dominican Republic. I don't know if he was making a movie or something
like
that.
Yeah, apparently it wasn't a movie.
What do you think the best Ray Liotta movie is? Goodfellas, like, obviously,
not
right?
This one.
They feed you alone, terrorists.
He's not in it. Well, and you know what's funny is Goodfellas, quote, made, close quote, him as a mobster character.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like that. He hated that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they kept, if you don't like that, don't work. That was sort of the Ray Liotta dilemma. And then they came at him with this Sopranos prequel that HBO did, or they're doing right now, and he's in that because he's, you know, if you call Central Casting and say we need Italian mobster, you know, Joe Pesci is done to death, but Ray Liotta is the guy after you know, Goodfellas, and I'm surprised, you know, I mean, Henry Hill, the actual Henry Hill, died a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
But his interaction, you know, part he was in his first witness protection program, he screwed himself out of. The second one, he winds up in Redmond, and he was dealing pot in Redmond.
Seriously,
Farilla McGilla. And I'll get you the background and facts on that.
But that's the blessing and the curse of being such a great actor or playing a role so brilliantly is if you do it well, then you become typecasted. People go, oh, we only want to see you as that from now on.
Yeah. And
he was great in Field of Dreams as Shoeless Joe Jackson. That movie still gives me chills.
How hard is it? he didn't, by the way, didn't look a thing. He didn't sound a thing and didn't look a thing like the very actual Shoeless Joe Jackson, who was from South Carolina.
Right.
And dumb as a mud fence in a rainstorm. Eight Men Out, I forget who plays him in Eight Men Out, but he's way, way closer to Shoeless Joe Jackson. I don't know why they cast Ray Liotta as Shoeless Joe Jackson, to be honest with you. TBH.
He didn't throw the ball very well either, no. But he's still good in that movie.
But that's the crazy thing about Goodfellas. Is that it's a great De Niro film for De Niro fans. To them, it's a De Niro movie. It made Joe Pesci, basically. he was a character actor up to that point, and you know they do you the drive through, and from, you know, Lethal Weapon and all that. But Goodfellas, man, that for some reason I'm oriented towards his character, through Joe Pesci. Because Pesci, apparently in real life, not a psycho, but just so phenomenally inhabits that role. Ray Liotta is almost like a delivery device for De Niro and Pesci. It's a good movie, and I'll probably watch it this weekend or something. But you know, it's a terrific movie. But the thing that strikes me is I hate to do this, but it's a reflex. It's not my fault, Hollywood. But 67 is not that old.
No, by today's standards, I feel like that's relatively
young.
So,
I mean, drugs? Alcohol? Something? I don't know. I don't know what kind of... I don't know what the medical standards are in the Dominican Republic. I don't know if there's a required autopsy, if it's a celebrity or what. Or if we would ever know. But anyway, Ray Liotta, yeah, terrific actor. But doesn't answer the question, what's this movie from?
They feed you alone, terrorists.
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. So 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. We'll be back in just a second, a early pass at the texts. And doomsday scenarios. New York Times, they has it. I love doomsday scenarios. I love worst case stuff. I love apocalypse movies, too. My list of top five apocalypse movies coming back right after this. It is AM 770 Memorial Day practice. It is Brian Susan, producer Greg here. Let's get you to work with the right way traffic. AM 770 KTTH. Brian Susan's here on your Friday. My Friday, too. Greg, is it your Friday?
Today is my Friday.
It's all of our Fridays. Noted door-kicking street cop veteran of Seattle Police, Carmen Best, is on MSNBC right now.
It's because we don't have a chance to recover from one incident before another occurs. I'm still very hopeful, though, that there will be change.
She was chief of police for all of 2 years and hard-scrabbled, dozens, hundreds of felony arrests. And so no wonder they're going to her about school shooting response and all that. She has a book out, so best of luck. I didn't know this, if you didn't know this, China, if they don't own Hollywood, they're buying it. But one of the big investors for Top Gun Maverick has backed out because of pressure from the Chinese government. This is the firm Tencent Holdings. And they owned 12% of what is surely going to be a $1 billion movie. And they bought 12% for like $40 or $50 million. The return on investment on a movie like that is just phenomenal. So anyway, they funded it. I think they were the ones through the Chinese government who had Tom Cruise wear a jacket not featuring a Taiwanese flag. Remember when that came out, when the first teaser came out for Top Gun, people who sit there and parse frame by frame trailers said, whoa, that's not the same jacket as 1986, because the 1986 jacket where he's wearing his dad's naval aviator leather jacket had a patch on the back featuring like a 1960 cruise, and it was a West Pacific something, and there was a Japanese flag and a Taiwanese flag. The Chinese didn't like that, so they said, take that out. So they it's not, I thought it was CGI'd out, but they actually made a different jacket, and that's what 12.5% gets you. But anyway, they're out of the Chinese tech firm Tencent in 2019 signed to co-finance the film. They're completely out. Tencent executives backed out of the $170 million Paramount Picture production after they grew concerned. Communist Party officials in Beijing, they assumed it would be angry about the company's affiliation with such a pro-American military movie. And it's funny because did you see, Greg, yesterday the Secretary of State Anthony Blinken basically sucked up to the Chinese and said, hey, we don't hate your people. Hundreds of thousands of you are on student visas in the United States right now. We welcome such a cultural exchange. And it was effectively the Anthony Blinken signing off on Chinese espionage. It's one of the
how many of those students actually stay here when they graduate?
Many, many, many. They apply for jobs, then they can, because they don't have to go home and then apply for an H-1B. You can just stay here. You can, with your mortar board and your diploma, you can walk off the campus at Montlake and get right on the 520 with a new visa. You don't have to go home and reapply for an H-1B because, of course, the Chinese will be offended. We don't want to do that.
I did hear that Blinken speech, and I almost grabbed an audio cut from it. But some of it seems like he's playing both sides, doing this diplomatic dance where China's a really big threat, but we really like you. We love your people. We need to have close ties with you, but you're the biggest problem we have right now, but not really.
One of the largest efforts by the Chinese to steal our technology, for technology transfer and intellectual transfer, is students on campus. And it's funny because campuses in Washington, Oregon, and California, presidents of universities have said, well, what are we supposed to do about it? You know, we're not law enforcement, we're a university. Well, okay, they're right. The FBI points to these campuses, and 2 years ago, they arrested 4 Chinese military people who were legally in the U.S. working at different UC campuses, UC San Francisco, UC Davis. There was a major in the Chinese Air Force working in UC Davis, basically thumb driving every bit of research they were doing. There was a guy who lied on his way into the country to take a gig at UC San Francisco, who was thumb driving everything about lab procedures. I mean, stuff you can find on YouTube. On his way out at LAX, the FBI was finally onto him, and they asked him, are you not, Lieutenant Colonel Chinese name here of the PLA Air Force? And he said, why, yes, I am. What do you need to know? And they said, well, on the way in, you said you were not. So they grabbed him. It is such a vector for spying. And just crazy. Here's a little bit of what the blinker said yesterday.
Is that we've long been a destination for talented, driven people from every part of the planet. That includes millions of students from China who've enriched our communities and forged lifelong bonds with Americans.
Yeah.
Last year, despite the pandemic, we issued more than 100,000 visas to Chinese students in just 4 months, our highest rate ever.
It's almost as if the Chinese have a campaign to plant people here in the U.S. And I mean, make no mistake, you don't get out of China without having an exit interview with the Ministry for State Security. And they brief you and they say, where are you going? Everett Community College. Okay. Clover, whatever. UPS, PLU, UW, Wazoo. And they tell you at a time, sometime in the future, are you available for any patriotic contact, is one word that they, one term that they use. And your answer is not no. Unless you're an orphan and you can actually cut ties with China, if you leave people behind, the answer is why, of course, because you only got the visa because the Chinese government approved it, not because you requested it. So it's so naive.
Well, and by the way, a lot of these Chinese exchange students, I happen to know one, actually, their parents are very powerful back in China and are in and around the Chinese government. They have lots of money. They send their kids here. And these students have no clue about real Chinese history.
And also part of the problem is that there's more Chinese Ministry for State Security agents, not just students, but MSS agents in the West Coast than there are FBI agents. And that's just the way it works. But anyway, it's weird. It's some of the stuff that they lift seems so mundane, but they have to be in the firewalled computer system. They have to be on campus to get this stuff. That's why they're only there for 6 months. The ones that are research assistants and all that, they're there just hoovering up absolutely every bit of research that U.S. taxpayers or that university, did. And then they get on a plane, take it home, and download it. And then they get to run that project or what. And just like I say, it's really mundane stuff like lab procedures, stuff that's printed. But anyway, back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. What about these doomsday documents? We'll get to that. Also, the latest in Ukraine, and some horrifying details. How some of the kids survived, which is some remarkable. A fairly astounding, very basic human instinct is what they had, what they displayed. One little girl in particular, as the timeline falls apart, by the way, from Uvalde, Texas. We'll be back right after this. It is AM 770 KTTH. Hey, I'm 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here with producer Greg. Memorial Day weekend is looming. Was that from Navy SEAL with Charlie Sheen? No, this is not.
Leave Fiji alone, terrorists.
Leave Fiji alone, terrorists. Come on, think. It's like 30 years old. Like 40 years old. Navy SEAL. Some texts that are coming in, all bad guesses, very bad guesses. I'll just relieve everyone's wonderment on this. It's Sicario.
I really like Sicario. Yeah. What, 2015, 2016, yeah. Maybe?
So you have seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, how'd you miss this?
Leave Fiji alone, terrorists.
Kind of early on in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a throwaway line.
It's so funny, though.
But that movie's about taking on the drug cartels,
oh,
right?
Oh, great movie. Phenomenal movie. Because, I'm trying to get the DOD interested. Terrorists want to sink Fiji. And the former Delta guy says,
leave Fiji alone, terrorists.
Because they're just trying to get a a gig in Fiji for a month. This is a free DOT thing. Maybe it's too inside of a joke. I've always it's funny. I drop that line. Either people get it or they don't.
That's kind of the gist of this show, is that it's an inside joke.
Leave Fiji alone, terrorists.
Leave Fiji alone, terrorists.
I've been saying it ever since I got it was today. This drop is today years old. I finally went on Amazon, and it's one of the rare movies that I own. And boy, people are really lucky that I don't play Death of Stalin stuff all the time. I would say. And you've seen Death of Stalin.
Of course.
Hilarious anti-communist movie, but it's a retelling of the chaos in the aftermath of Joseph Stalin's death, and it's so funny. And this, the guy who did Veep and then the Thick of It, this guy Giancarlo Iannucci, who's a great British comedy writer.
Well, one of the problems with that film, though, is you have to know your history a little bit to find the jokes hilarious. And unfortunately, many Americans don't know their own history, let alone Russian history.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was talking about how I don't know how they do it in other places, but I thought here in Washington that the lane numbers went from right to left, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
FYI, lane numbering is from the center to the edge. It's starting at number one. If it's I-5 and three lanes, one is all the way to the left. So this person's saying it's 1, 2, 3 from left to right. I don't know, 818. What do you know, 818?
We have smart listeners. Let's take their word for it.
Yeah, come on. Eastern Oregon. You don't even have I-5 there, 818 area code. Dork. Too early Ray Liotta movies. Something Wild.
With Jeff Daniels.
Is it? Oh, he's like the nutbag boyfriend, isn't he?
I haven't seen
Years ago, I saw it. Dominic, don't remember that. And Eugene. You're doing movies that are just first names. Is it Dominic and Eugene? Is that the movie?
It's been a heavy news week. Don't you think?
Terrible news week.
No, honestly, there hasn't been a lot of bright spots in this news cycle. And then to hear that Ray Liotta died yesterday, I'm like, the hits just keep on coming, I guess.
Well, here's some good news out of Sammamish. A toddler
here
was,
we go. Good
was
news.
Not, eaten by a bear.
What?
Did you see this story? Can you imagine your 3-year-old going out in the backyard and seeing a bear cub? We socialize kids that, bears must want to hug you because you're hugging the bear. Are you not? Well, this family in Sammamish, they have a Ring doorbell on their, back patio. Their toddler, little over 2 years old, adorable little girl. She unlocks the sliding door because by the time they're two, they should be able to do that because they watched you do it. Anyway, she undoes the sliding door and there's a black bear cub, and they have like a cinder block fence, and the black bear cub is balancing and walking on the fence, and the little girl goes, yeah, she screams with joy and comes at the black bear cub. And the black bear cub is probably running faster from the little girl than the girl's running towards it. But the issue is black bear cubs have moms, and so the human mother runs out, and so you'll hear this on this is from Fox Q13. The mother says, and by the way, if your little girl walks outside and you see a black bear, what would you say?
Oh, snap.
She does. It's so funny. They don't answer that, but they have to bleep it out here.
Caught on camera, a toddler in Redmond giving her mom a scare.
Jennifer, come back inside.
Caught on camera, a toddler.
You can hear the girl squeals, and she goes, a bear, and she goes running towards it. And the mother is just stepping outside, like, get back in here. And she sees the bear, and she goes, oh.
Jennifer, come back inside.
Caught on camera, a toddler in Redmond giving her mom a scare after spotting a black bear in the yard and then sprinting toward the animal to try to give it a hug. Fox 13's Jennifer Dowling spoke to the mom who swooped in to rescue that child before she could reach the bear.
As you can imagine, mom Samantha says she nearly had a panic attack. She says she ran out and scooped up Juniper just moments before the 2-year-old got up close and personal with the bear.
Juniper, come back inside.
It It was a close call for little Juniper after she spotted.
But, you know, the mommy instinct kicked in and she goes, you know, running after, you know, the girl. That being said, wouldn't that be the coolest scar ever?
A bear scar?
Bear scar.
Yeah, if you could guarantee it was only going to be a scratch.
Like on a shoulder or something?
It's funny you bring this story up, though, because I was at my in-laws earlier in the week, and they live on the east side over the 520 bridge here in a certain unnamed area. But
the Albert D. Rosalini floating bridge?
It's a city where you would never, ever in a million years expect to see a black bear, and their neighbor had just recently caught a black bear on their Ring door cam in the middle of the night. And then
an adult or
I think it was an adult black bear, just a single. And then earlier this week, there's this story that Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife captured a bear and euthanized it earlier this month.
That one that they that elusive one they've been trying to get after. And I thought they were trying to get after because it outgrew its radio, its GPS collar.
It was 150 pounds overweight and had been getting into human garbage.
Trash panda.
And they were like, even if we capture this thing and put it back out into the wild somewhere where there's no humans, it's going to find humans again. So they basically murdered it.
Or it'll starve to death because it doesn't know
exactly
where to get food.
But is part of this just the sheer amount of trees that we're cutting down to build more and more houses, and it's putting us closer and closer up against the wildlife in the area?
The majority of it is the decrease in bear hunting. You know, they're bouncing back the same way mountain lions are bouncing back big time. You know, we nearly hunted them to extinction.
There's a delicate balance.
But that's the thing is, you know, what we're finding out is you got to have apex predators, period. And that's part of the reason, for instance, California is overrun with deer and coyotes and mountain lions in many cases because the grizzly bears were literally killed off. You know, there's one left. It's on the frickin' flag. But up here, what's crazy about up here is wolves are coming back. They're absolutely necessary for the ecosystem. They eat the unhealthy elk and deer and the rest. Wolverines are even coming back. I think that's ongoing. They've been spotted around OMAC and the whole thing. I have a crazy story, but I won't tell it on the air because someone will say BS. But one of the last sort of human-y areas is between 90, between North Bend and Leavenworth. And you can get in there. There's Forest Service roads. It's crazy what you see up there. You see martens. You see lots of river otters, you know, things like that. And martens are the lowest rung of wolverine. But you got to have these things. And it's, but that's the thing about bears is they discover, oh, I can do this. It's a lot of work. And I have to, you know, I have to dig into the stump and eat the ants. Or I can just go down to Issaquah and, you know, on trash day and chow down because these people throw everything away, don't they? So that's why they're there. Anyway, a bear. And all right, back in a second, hour number two for Memorial Day batting circle. Brian Suits here, AM770 KTTH. Back in a second with the Ukraine and the latest timeline out of Uvalde, Texas. It doesn't help. Let's get you to work with the right way traffic.